All right. Time for the garden talk, conversation. Mardell limping up here with her poor foot and her shoulder both strapped up. And Melissa, boy, what a dedicated crew we have here.
Good morning. I can't be gardening. Or at least not very efficiently.
Yeah.
So we've had a few nice days to garden, but now we're back to...
Happy equinox. Yeah, it's the first day of fall, and so we tearfully say goodbye to a beautiful summer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So our first question today comes from Leslie. I've harvested onions in my garden, and I'm drying and curing them in preparation for storage. I lift them from the garden when the tops have fallen over. Even when I've picked the same variety from the same row on the same day, I always have a few renegades that refuse to go to sleep. Most cure nicely, but a few start sprouting. What kind of ideas do you have, Mardell?
Well, so Leslie's doing the right thing, is that how you take onions out of the garden is that you wait for them to fall over, and when at least half your crop has fallen over, you can knock the rest of the crop over. And when I mean knock them over, the tops. And when you feel in the right above the onion bulb and you don't feel any life or not much life, then you can pull them out of the ground. So what you're doing when you're curing or storing onions is you're basically putting them in dormant, because those of you who have stored onions know that there's always a few that will come out of dormancy and will sprout in the winter. And what Leslie's talking about here is sometimes when you're curing them. So let me back up a little bit. I should say after you pull them out of the ground and, well, if you read in the books, they say leave them in the garden in the sunshine for a few days. Well, that doesn't happen here.
We don't have
That's
sunshine.
Right. So what I do is I pull them out of the garden and bring them someplace where there's lots of air. It's really important that you've got air flowing around, but undercover. And let them sit there for weeks. They need weeks usually to really dry, to let that top completely dry out. And that's where Leslie's talking about, that she's having a few that are sprouting at that point. Why that is, to the best that I can figure out, onions sprout because of temperature fluctuations. In the ground, they fluctuate because of temperature fluctuations. So that could have something to do with it at this point. And also, I think it's because of this wetness that we have to deal with when we're harvesting our onions. I think that that has a big impact on how they cure. So my answer to what to do with it is use those onions first. because they will not store. Any onion that has already gone to seed, whether it be in the ground or whether you whether it's after it's curing, they will not store as long. Hmm. So,
And just to add to that, I think pulling them, like you say, is important, because if you do have any root maggots, this can be a time when you get more root maggot damage. And if you have any slugs, it's also a time when the slugs get in. By letting them dry someplace, then also you can feel them before you put them into storage. And any that are beginning to feel at all mushy or whatever need to be taken in and used up.
So when you put them in storage, where do you put them?
Well, you know, onions do not need a root cellar the way that some other crops do. I find that my onions store okay in my root cellar, but they store at 50 degrees, 50 to 60 degrees. They don't need to have that real cold temperature the way a lot of things do. So if you just have, I would say, put them in the cooler place in your house. Don't, you know, put them next to the stove. They're not going to do very well there. But they don't really need a special place. Out of the light is a good idea. And air, again. And with all stored things, you have to check them regularly. And you just go and you check them, and if you see some onions going, make sure that you use those and get those out of there, because they'll infect the whole batch for sure.
Another thing that I find handy with storing things is to make sure that they're separated one from the other, so that if one has any kind of infection, an effect.
Mold.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
mold or just going soft, it can spread to the other onions. But if they're separated, you're less likely to have that happen.
And then... you know, if it does happen, one year I had, because of temperature fluctuations, it was about 2 or 3 years ago. Remember that summer where it would go hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold? Almost every single one of my onions went to seed that year. And so here I had this whole batch of onions I knew they weren't going to keep in storage. So because I needed to do something with them, I decided, well, I'm going to put them in the freezer. Well, that's my new way of storing onions now. I am convinced that the only reasons that frozen onions are not sold commercially is because they make your freezer smell. So you got to put them in a Mylar or something. But I love going to the freezer in the winter and pulling out my bag of onions and banging it on the counter, and voila, my onions are already cut. I throw them in the pan. Now, this doesn't work good if you want a crisp onion for a salad, obviously, right, or a stir fry. But most of my onions are used. They're going to be cooked anyway. Mm-hmm. And so I now put a large percentage of my onions in the freezer because I had to figure out what to do with all of these onions I had 1 year. Mm-hmm. So
I chop them up and put them in small Ziploc sandwich bags because then that's about the amount mm-hmm. that I want for making a soup.
And then
or
do you freeze them?
And freeze them.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So, okay, enough about onions for the moment. The next question is, I have a fruit fly infestation in my kitchen. What can I do that is non-toxic?
Okay, so fruit flies, yes, our friends. There's a couple things you can do. The first is prevention. So if you have bananas on your counter or cantaloupe or a lot of other kinds of fruits, sometimes there will be fruit fly eggs in the skin or the peel of that fruit. And so having those out will lead to that infestation. So the first thing to do is figure out what's causing the infestation and prevent that. But then if you do get a fruit fly bloom, you can put out containers of apple cider vinegar, red wine vinegar, red wine, and the fruit flies will fly into those. And that seems to work really well. There's some thought that you can put some dish soap in there, breaks the surface tension so the fruit flies can get into the and die their happy death that way a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. You can put a funnel into a jar. They kind of come down through the funnel, and then they can't figure out how to get out.
I've had it work without the funnel
as well.
You know, if they're not smart enough to figure out how to get out.
Oh, they're just happy. They're doing a backstroke in there. Yeah. Some people have used lemongrass as a deterrent. It's interesting because we get a lot of feedback with ideas as we're preparing for this show, and I've not used lemongrass as such. It is hard to grow here. Right.
Lemongrass oil, I think, is what was talked about as, and it's not going to kill them, but it's just a deterrent. So if you need to wipe down your window seals or you've got a counter or something like that you don't want to have them, it's evidently fruit flies don't like lemongrass.
Okay, so as a deterrent, it mm-hmm. wouldn't get rid of them, but it would just chase them off mm-hmm. to a different place.
One of the things that I really, as we were talking about this, Melissa says, well, the lifespan of a fruit fly is only 3 days.
3 days.
So the truth of the matter is that if you no longer have anything for the fruit flies to eat and to reproduce, they're going to go away within mm-hmm. a few days. And that's why my experience with fruit flies is, it's an overwhelming problem for a little while. It's like, they're never going to go away. And then it's like all of a sudden they're gone.
They're gone.
When they no longer have anything to feed on.
Yeah, I do vermiculture, and which is having a worm bin. And occasionally somebody will put a banana peel or something into the worm bin, and I will get the lovely fruit fly infestation. So what I have found works is to put a couple of containers of red wine or red wine vinegar around the container. I lift the lid off 2 or 3 times a day. All the adults fly out, go into the red wine vinegar, and within 3 days, you have no adults making the next generation, and you're done with your fruit flies.
And that's it. Till the next time.
Till the next time. Yeah.
When I lived in the tropics, you wouldn't have thought of having your fruit sit on your counter without a cover. I mean, that was just part of a kitchen equipment. You always had a cover to put over your fruit and that sort of thing because it was a huge problem in the tropics.
Yeah. So for all of us who head to Hawaii or whatever in the winter, you can look for this.
Yes. Okay.
The next question, now that the season is ending, Mardell, what should I do with all the leeks in my garden?
Okay, another leek onion question in the allium family. So we canvassed a few people who grow leeks here to find out what everybody does with them. And I'll tell you what I do. as well. So one of the things that several people do, and I have done this in the past, you can dig the leeks out, shake the dirt off. You can even wash the dirt off a little bit, but do it gently. But keep those roots intact. Put them in a bucket that has a little bit of soil or peat moss, something that will hold the moisture in the bottom of it. And then just take those leeks and put the roots right down on that soil. And during the winter, make sure that soil doesn't get wet but stays moist, because that's going to provide some moisture to the leeks. Now, one person I talked to says that she keeps her leeks this way clear until spring. And I did this 1 or 2 years, and I'm kind of greedy. And so I didn't like the fact that what happens is the outside part of the leeks dries up, obviously. If you leave something exposed for months, it's going to dry up. And so instead of doing it that method, which does work, what I do is I bring all of my leeks in and I actually cook them up and then puree them up and make them into a leek puree and freeze it in my freezer that way. And I use them for making mashed potatoes. I use them on sauces for pizza. It's a great leek potato. If I make leek potato soup, it's already done. And so that's how I do it. Other people take and cut them up just raw. I think, Melissa, you do it this way, right?
I do, yeah.
Just cut it up raw and put it in the freezer?
Yeah, I chop them up and then freeze them once again into these Ziploc sandwich bag type pint sizes. Mm-hmm. Label them always with the date. I usually can figure out what it is.
But you can't figure whether it's this year or last year?
Right, the year is important. Yeah. So that you can rotate mm-hmm. the stuff that's in your freezer. And I just chop them up again. And for me, being alone, one bag is enough mm-hmm. for most recipes mm-hmm. that I make. Now, another thing that I discovered as we were researching this, I looked at Elliot Coleman's book, Four Seasons Harvest, and he suggested bringing the pots inside. If you grow your leeks in pots, mm. you can actually move them into a greenhouse or something like that and harvest through the year. That assumes that the greenhouse is accessible mm-hmm. in the winter. And I'm going to try that. I have an attached greenhouse attached to my house that stays at about mm-hmm. 60, and I'm going to try some mm-hmm. this year that way. So stay tuned, and I'll report on success or dismal failure in the spring.
Well, so he's saying about 60 degrees is what you have to keep them
well,
at?
Well, or cooler. Cooler. Then that
cooler,
would be fine. Yeah.
Yeah. You can actually, I've harvested leeks out of the snow. And actually, I've had leeks stay the whole winter over, buried under snow all winter, and then I harvest them in the spring. Mm-hmm. They are incredibly cold hardy, leeks are. So that's another method. Whoever asked this question, do not panic. Your leeks can stay out long, long time. Mm-hmm. In fact, they'll get bigger. I'm always amazed at how much bigger my leeks are in November than they are right now. Mm-hmm. So that's one crop that you can harvest out of the snow if you don't mind getting your fingers cold.
Yeah, the only thing is don't let the ground freeze, because then you're...
Then what you have to do is you have to work a little harder and wedge it out. And there's one other thing that I wanted to say. Another person said what they have gotten to is that they dry most of their leeks. And they said that they just... So you dry them and then you crunch them up and they're a really good thing to sprinkle on your food. And I thought that's a really good idea. It's a nice way to do it if you don't have a lot of freezer space. And they retain a lot of that leeky... oniony flavor, mm-hmm. sweet oniony. You know, leeks, if you haven't had leeks, they're a little different than onions. So, okay, so another question. How do you move herb gardens inside for the winter, and which herbs do well inside the house?
Okay, so this is the time when we're starting to think about bringing plants in that are in pots. So the first thing, if the plants are in open ground, put them in a pot, let them get used to being in the pot. And then before you bring them into the house, clean them off really well. Check for slugs, check for slug eggs, which are like little tiny white things that
pearls.
Pop. Yeah, little pearls that mm-hmm. pop in your fingers. Check for aphids and any other kind of bugs like that. Make sure to wash them off very thoroughly so they're not infesting everything else. I bring mine in and put them under artificial lights. I have a plant stand on my kitchen counter that I can put them under, which provides lots of, it's just great because it's full spectrum light in the kitchen and it's herbs right there by your stove, and that's wonderful. But things that you can bring in, successfully. Rosemary, basil will go for a while until it decides to go to seed. Parsley will work. Oregano, just about anything. So if you've got herbs out there in your garden, pot them up, bring them in after you've cleaned them off, and give it a try.
And one thing I'll say in general, not only about herbs, but just about anything that you're bringing into the house, you know how you harden things off in the spring in that you don't want to take it from your home environment and take it outside and shock it. It's the same thing bringing them in the fall. You don't want to take it from the outside environment and shock it by bringing it into a completely different environment inside. So if you want the healthiest plants, what you do is you take them and you put them in a pot and you leave it sit in your garage or someplace so that the climate is still pretty much the same, but it's getting used to its new home in that pot. Leave it sit there for a week or two and then bring it inside, and then it may be more able to deal with the climatic change. So just a word to the wise. And one other thing I wanted to say, I was talking to somebody about rosemary. And if you're like the two of us, you have killed many rosemary plants over the years. They don't do well overwintering here. But she has found something interesting about this. We always thought, oh, you got to bring it in to where it's really warm. Well, she's found a way to keep rosemary is to keep it in the basement where it's very cool. And in talking to Melissa, this is a Mediterranean plant, which likes cool weather in the year.
Yeah, Mediterranean plants like good chilling hours in the winter, and we are out of time.
I know, we could talk for a long time about a lot of things.
I know.
We'll stop, and we'll
so
be back next week.
Well, thank you so much. And Mardell, you feel better soon, okay?
I will, I hope.
And thanks to Lori for the excellent tomato yesterday.
Oh, and they can email their questions too?
garden@khns.org, and not only your questions, which we always appreciate, but your ideas
and comments
and comments. Yeah, that really helps us.
Okay, thank you so much.